This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Carm Capriato here, the pioneer of automotive podcasts. Hey, thanks for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. I appreciate it. You know, the influence and reach we've worked so hard to support our industry's growth and our metamorphosis continues with new content designed to stretch your learning curve each and every week. You know, hiring technicians from dealerships is an untapped talent pool for our industry. Shop owners that interview dealership techs with a job hopper resume, you know, sometimes they usually get tossed to the side, but maybe those technicians haven't found their right place to work yet. You know, the challenging environment and culture at dealerships give the independent repair shops the opportunity to show them that they'll be respected, appreciated, and included in a family atmosphere, a strong culture. Listen closely to my panel as they discuss their own experiences while hiring technicians from dealerships. Thanks to our partners, Shopware and Broadly, for providing this episode. You know, here's something to think about. How often do your advisors play phone tag? Every ring, every voicemail, you know, it's time ticking on a stall job. Shopware's digital communication is really as easy as the customer clicks yes. Find out more, getshopware.com, on the web at getshopware.com. You know, your shop is busy and keeping your customers on schedule is more important than ever. Broadly's features keep all your communications in one place, so nothing falls through the cracks. On the web, getbroadly.com/chat. Now let's jump into the episode on hiring dealership techs. This is a great panel. You're going to love this panel. Andy Bizup's with us, shop owner, Midwest Performance Chicago, 2 locations. Hi, Andy.
Hey, Carl.
Good to have you here, my friend. Joe Jerkins, owner, Westside Auto Pro, Clive, Iowa, former dealer service advisor. Nice to have you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And just to put this in perspective, because the world knows Ron Haugen, you bought Ron Haugen's place, Joe.
So that's correct.
I think that's important to know. An internal candidate succession plan. In fact, I had Ron on years ago when that transaction happened, and we talked about that. And Patrick Ryan is with us, a technician at Eagle Automotive, 4-location operation out in, am I right, in Colorado?
That's correct.
Columbine, Colorado. Hey, good to have you here, Patrick. Thank you. First time on the show. Joe, first time on the show. Let's jump in this thing. Dealerships, they're hiring at higher rates than their current staff. That's not good. Internally, some technicians want to expand their knowledge and have greater challenges in their work, which offers us opportunity. We need to find those technicians. I also found out recently that many technicians that work in the dealerships are very neat. Their boxes are perfect. There's no dirt on them. Everything's organized in them. If you don't have an organized shop and they come in and, you know, oh, great opportunity, they look around, and they don't see clean and organized, you may not get them, and that may be one of the reasons. And the other thing that I think is big and critical, are we making enough money to pay the wages we need for that talent that we need today? The other thing is, what's the average wage of the technician in our industry? I've heard some numbers, and I don't want to go on record to say I'm right or wrong, but I got to tell you, I think they're paying coffee people in my town pretty damn close to that because of the whatever shortage that we have, for whatever reason that we're short. About paid training, we got to talk about paid training. And I think that's so critical because every dealership tech gets paid training and paid to go to training. And if we're not doing that stuff, don't even think that we're going to be able to recruit. So, Andy, you're in Chicago where that strike happened, where that strike went on for what, I think 3 months?
Yeah.
It went on for 3 months. An independent went down to the strike line and, you know, the techs that were on strike didn't have a clue that the independents could actually hire them and give them more than what they're currently getting them and bring the kind of culture. And I know, Joe, you want to talk about that. There's going to be so many great things in this episode. I hope you take a lot of notes. Listen intently to this. So what matters to technicians today, Andy?
We independents have a great story to tell, but we're struggling to get that story out there. And when technicians actually find out what kind of a shop we run, what kind of business we do, what our reputations are, and what our culture is in the well-run shops, it's a big surprise to them. It's, you know, the light goes on. So I think it's a lot about getting our good story out there. But I'll tell you, preparing for this episode, we have two young techs who came from dealers. One's been with me for 2 years. He was at a Toyota dealer for 2 years. He was at a Honda dealer for the next 2 years. And he's been at our Suburban shop for 2 years. And he has worked on, he says he goes home and tells his family about the kind of things that he worked. He would never believe he would be working on Aston Martins and Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Porsche. Porsches are everyday occurrence for him now. Our other technician, he came on about 2 months ago. He was 5 years at an Audi dealership in our area. So I took these two guys out to lunch because I wanted to pick their brains about what was important to them. I want to hear it directly from them. And I'll tell you, the things that I heard may surprise people. I took some notes, and like one of the things was make it apparent that the technician matters in your business. One of the guys said, he knew that at the dealership he worked at, if he quit or if 10 guys quit, it wouldn't have an impact on the dealership. It wouldn't be noticed. No one would be bummed out coming the next week to work when he left. He was basically just a number in the dealership. While we were having lunch, I said to these guys, have you ever met with the owner of the dealership that you worked with? And they kind of laughed at me. They were like, I've never even seen the owner, right? Everybody in our organization has my cell phone number. They can reach out to me at any time. So that's just one thing about dealing with your people as people, not as employees, not as staff, not as, just numbers or numbers on the payroll. You've got people working for you. And when you show appreciation that their appreciation for their work, and appreciation that they're a part of your business and helping you to succeed while you're helping them to succeed, it really makes a big difference. So that was just one thing that I heard.
Well, Joe, I think you were telling me that corporate thing just gets in the way of having a strong relationship with your supervisor and never with an owner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very possible that the only person that you're going to see other than other technicians are maybe a parts guy and maybe your service manager and that, or whatever that title is of that person. But especially in the huge dealerships, I wasn't ever in one of those, but the big ones, that's all there is. You don't see the owner. You may not even see a general manager. You don't get to talk to them. They sure don't know who you are or anything about you. And Andy hit the nail on the head. When you're building your shop, building it, the character that's going on here matters, and it matters to our techs.
Let me stop you for a moment. I want to get right back to you. But here's what I'm thinking right now. If someone was tuning in saying, oh, very interesting topic, what can I learn from it? There's a ton to learn. But if you're going to interview a dealership tech, you need to listen to this and formulate the questions that you want to ask. How's the team environment over at XYZ dealership? And if you start to listen to what this team is saying, you could formulate your discovery of, are they happy or aren't they happy? And do you have the right environment to bring them in? I mean, I think that's your point, right, Joe?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing to not necessarily be afraid of is, a lot of applications or resumes that you're going to see, they've been at a dealership for a year or 2 years, another year. They bounce all over the place. We view that in the industry as being a negative when possibly they haven't found their home. Maybe they haven't found a place they love or loves them back. So you don't automatically discard that, Bring them in, have a conversation with them and learn from that person what's going on.
Patrick, how long did you work at the dealership?
Over the last 30 some years, I've probably spent 15 of them at different dealerships. Chevrolet, I worked for Saturn for a long time, Acura. Jill and Andy are correct with everything they said. The reason that I left, one of the reasons was because of the culture, not feeling like I was valuable. Along with a whole other list of things, including, benefits year after year, getting worse and worse, just dwindling, so that the corporate people could up their margins. And there was probably only, you know, in each dealership, probably three people that really mattered. And they were getting paid all the money. And the word came from the top that they needed to improve profits or whatever. It just came out of the technicians.
A friend of mine, and I know a lot of people out there know Jeff Scruggs. He's hit some explosive growth lately, and he's the shop that they've recently hired these four dealer techs. And I said, so explain to me, Jeff, and it was actually Henry, his general manager, why did some of these people come over? And he says, I found someone who wasn't satisfied where his career was. He wanted to learn more. He wanted to give more. Is that true, guys? There's some technicians out there that have decided, I just don't want to be in this circular rut.
Yeah, I've got one of them right now. He's 22 years old. I had mentioned it when we were, before we came on the air, we've got a 22-year-old, I call him a kid, who went through the GMASEP program. He was at my shop before that. Went through the program, decided he'd go try out the dealership life. And it wasn't 4 to 5 months. He's calling going, I want to be at your shop. I want to be there. I want to be challenged. And he's one of the most productive techs that we've got. And he's not getting 22-year-old work. He's getting the Porsches. He's getting the Mercedes. He's working on a diesel truck. They're out there and they're available.
The young guy that he's not 27 years old, that we just hired out of the Audi dealership. He initially turned us down because he didn't really understand our pay plan. We do a hybrid pay plan, right, with a guarantee and a production bonus on top of it. It's very lucrative if you're productive. And then he came back to us and interviewed with me directly. And he explained that his girlfriend explained to him how the pay plan worked. And he said, when I understood how the pay plan worked, that's when I wanted to talk to you again. And I'll tell you, during this interview, the thing that really stuck with me, he said, I've been at this Audi dealership for 5 years. I just want someone to say that they appreciate what I'm doing. And I'm telling you, that just blew me away. I mean, that he wasn't looking for more money. He wasn't, the things that he was looking for were so, they were so simple and human, but they're the things that we don't even consider that, you know, that's an important thing. Another thing when we were having lunch that the other technician told me, he said, you know, the owner needs to make himself vulnerable. And I thought that was really interesting. Right? To be able to say to your people, you guys matter a lot to me, and whether you're here or not matters to me, and how you're doing professionally, personally, that matters to me too. And it's you can have an impact. You can have a negative impact, or you can really have a positive impact. And that is really, that's important to people. And particularly, we talk a lot about Gen X, millennials. These are the things that really ring true with this group of people. And, you know, Carm, I did this presentation at the Ratchet and Wrench Conference on ultimate team building, right? And I was talking about the Gen Xers, particularly these techs that we're really looking to hire, right? The young guys who have a big future ahead of them. They're sponges for knowledge. And one of the things we've gone through years of, like, criticizing this group, right? Because they're self-centered and all this. And
do you mean the millennials versus the Gen Xers? Okay.
Yeah, millennials, Gen X, Gen Z. I mean, we've kind of grouped them all together, right? And one of the things I said was they were raised a lot of times in an environment of zero gravity, right? I mean, if you've been raised since you were a kid, everything's great. Everything you do is great. You haven't had any gravity, right? So when they come into our organization, you can't pull them off the spaceship and throw them on the ground and tell them, hey, start running. Right? You have to introduce gravity a little bit at a time. And when you do that and you got the right person and you bring them along, to see them grow and blossom it's unbelievable. And I've seen that with multiple people in our organization.
And one thing on the money subject too, when if you have a technician that you're interviewing and they say, well, I can make whatever, $37 an hour or $40 an hour, and they have no anything else to go with it, how many hours does that dealership have for you? Carmen and I were talking that, if you're going to get 3/10 of an hour paid to you for a no problem found, and you want nothing but the best for that customer's car that you're working on, you might spend 2 hours doing that. Well, $37 an hour, $40 an hour sounds great, but if you're getting 15 bucks, or excuse me, 15 hours, you didn't make squat. So there's things to have in mind, you know, when we're selling ourselves to these people as well. You know, you're going to have ones that you can find out that money is what's important to them. And then you're going to have the ones that, you know, they're not as worried about that as much as being a part of something bigger.
The money thing is definitely more important to some of the older techs, for sure. But the younger techs, they just, like you guys were saying, they just want to be part of something and they want to be taught as opposed to blocked out like they get in the dealerships. And they need somebody to guide them and feel like they're just as valuable as everybody else in the shop. And to be quite honest, the younger guys are definitely just as valuable. The older guys, we're getting old, you know, and we're in a place right now where we need to grow these technicians. And if we spend the time with them and appreciate them, it develops loyalty. Like, they will bend over backwards for you and they will learn and grow with the company and stay with you forever.
Hey, Carm here. Did you know technicians look at your reviews and social media before they even apply to your business? Well, we talk about the need to pay attention to your content. When it comes to servicing vehicles, you're crushing it. Your techs are skilled, their work is top-notch, but something is missing. Shopware, an industry-leading shop management system, could be your secret weapon. Not only does the SMS eliminate busy work for your skilled technicians, but it improves your customer service experience as well. Can you already see those 5-star reviews? If you schedule a call with a Shopware rep, they can show you the endless examples of 5-star reviews their SMS is driving for hundreds of auto shops around the country. How do they do it? Well, for starters, they have an easy-to-use interface that allows estimates to be reviewed and approved on any device. Can you say cha-ching? We all know that the best customers are the ones that keep coming back. Book a demo with my friends at GetShopware.com to see how their software can drive repeat business for your shop. You know auto shops with tons of 5-star reviews, and that doesn't happen overnight. There's actually a strategy to getting all of those positive reviews. Now, Broadly knows how to do it because they are the experts at improving your web presence and increasing your number of 5-star Google reviews. There's an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. Now, do you know when? Well, Broadly knows the best time to ask for a review is immediately after service. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied your customer's need for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Now, Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of 5-star reviews on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. You know, guys, let's stop for a moment and think about post-secondary and the college level and all the great corporate programs that exist inside of those colleges, like you mentioned, ASEP and Ford Asset and the like. Subaru, everybody has one. And the dealerships are recruiting right off, creaming right off the top. So they've got their students in their program. They're coming to them. But if they're in the general program, they'll still take the top grads. And they come in and they cycle out after 2 years. They don't even want to talk to you because they had such a bad experience. They got on the loop rack for way too long. They fought for hours. Or the mentor who didn't want to lose any of his hours wasn't having that great relationship with that individual. I guess the point goes back to, how are we going to continue to fill our ranks? There's a ton of guys and ladies sitting over there in the dealership network that we have to actually figure out how to tap into?
Show them the path that you can provide them, right? So when you're talking about your younger techs, your younger techs are paying attention to how you treat your older techs. So they see when I'm dealing with my oldest tech is, I think he's 46 now. They see that I'm talking to that technician a lot about, hey, what does it look like? What does your next 10 years look like? I want to start getting you out of the heavy lifting. I want to use your mind more. I don't want to keep beating up on your body, right? So I'm always telling my guys, look, there's a whole path for you. One of the young guys that I had lunch with, he said, I really don't want to be turning wrenches after like 38 years old. And I was like, that's great. I got no problem with that. You can go into customer service. You can go into being a foreman position. There's all kinds of pathways here. You don't want to bring guys in. You're not going to bring guys in from a dealership if you're just like, I want you to come in, bring your box and start wrenching. And that's your future. Just get in here and fix cars for me. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You gotta show them that there's a path for them, that I want them to make more money every consecutive year. I want to send them to training and pay for the training and pay them at the same time while they're in training so I can pay them more money. I'm always like, I'll pay for your training so I can pay you more. It's absolutely. So there's a whole presentation thing here about what we can actually offer them and the great different culture that we have as independents as opposed to dealerships.
Yeah, there's a comment that came through that's talking about a shop crafting an offer, you know, that's specific for that technician. Sometimes some shops, not all of them, get stuck in, this is our cookie cutter offer for every tech that walks in the door. These are our policies, even though we're the ones that set them. And, you know, this is what we offer, take it or leave it. Well, there has to be some flexibility in that because a lot of these younger guys, some of the older guys, everybody's going to be different on what makes them click. And we don't have to be one size fits all or have one offer that we can send to somebody that can provide, you know, quality to our shop.
Yeah, that's very important that we keep in mind that everybody has different lives, different families. We need to be able to adapt to their needs. And as far as how are we going to bring the younger technicians up and in, we are actually starting to kind of pioneer an apprenticeship program that was just approved through the labor board here in Colorado. And it's available to military and kids out of DADC and the technical colleges. And it offers them many, many benefits, including a set of tools, training, and on-the-job leadership and training on the job as well. And after they complete the program, they will be master certified technicians and have the set of tools as theirs.
High fives to you, Patrick, for probably being a mentor someday, and to Brian Bates for pulling this off. Obviously, a four-store operation needs to be seeding those bottom levels and having an apprentice. Guys, this has been tremendous, and I think the takeaways are really important, really critical. I think we're talking trends. Is there a groundswell in rethinking in our industry, tech pay, benefits, building a team culture, training? Is there a groundswell, or are we just, you know, talking about this thing because it feels good?
So I only came into this industry, I'm coming on my eighth year, right? I came out of a completely different industry. In those 8 years, from the time I got my first shop to now, there's been a huge change in attitude, culture, the importance of culture. Just all these multifaceted of bringing in other business ideas into this industry and really moving the industry forward. That's one of the most rewarding things that I've had in my 8 years of owning these shops is really getting involved in the industry and being on shows like CARMS and speaking at conferences and connecting with other shop owners and solving problems to try to kind of get the industry moving, you know, get it moving forward and, you know, in more, you know, into the modern age and the way adapting for the workforce that's out there. Right? We have to adapt to the workforce that's out there, not the one that we wish was out there, the one that is out there. The big things that we touched on just previously was in the dealerships, time to advance in your career. How long am I going to be doing oil changes before I can start getting into the meat, the good stuff, right? And a lot of the young guys complain that there's a lot of ageism, right? The older techs get all the gravy jobs. Right. And it doesn't matter as a young guy how good you are, what kind of competency you can show, how much training you go to get. You're just not going to get the good jobs. My guys come in, the guy who's been with us from the Toyota and Honda dealership, been with us for 2 years. You wouldn't believe the level of work that he's doing on super high end cars. Right. So for our operation and us as independents, we can always tell these guys, you can rise as high as your balloon will take you up. And when you run out of helium in your balloon, I'll send you a training and pump some more helium in there.
And I think that we've got to, when you talk about if this is the way we're going or if we're just, you know, talking about it because it feels good, I think the shops that don't want to be left behind have already either started implementing these things or need to. Or I think that you're going to get left behind and be stuck with what you have.
Okay, so does the dealer tech look at us, you know, I'm old enough to remember the stupid, ugly ad where the guy was squirting the hose, you know, let Charlie do it, that old grease monkey mentality. I think that has stuck with people their whole lives. So they come out of college or they go to a trade school and they say to mom and dad, hey, look, I'm working for GM. Or, you know, the dealer plate that has, you know, the 20 dealerships around, you know, the metropolitan Chicago area. And says, I'm working for, you know, for the Joe dealership group. Look what my son's doing. He come out of college. Look at what he's doing. He's working for GM, Ford, you name it. And that's what he's working for. He's working for Andy Bizzub at Midwest Performance. Well, who's that? Where is that? Oh, he's a mechanic? I thought he was going to be a technician. And is the paradigm of where our industry, what our industry is like, do we have to carry the banner of a dealership emblem to make it feel good? And I say that as a statement and as a question, but let me also throw this in there. When you're interviewing, Joe and Andy, when you're interviewing a dealership tech, why have they not really looked heavily at the independent? Are they being sold a bill of goods the wrong way?
Absolutely, yeah. We've got to break down some of those stereotypes and get past them. There's shops that have created that stereotype. There's people that have that vision that, well, like you said, I work for General Motors or I work for this giant multi-million, billion, whatever it is, dealership group. And then there's, you know, Joe at Westside Auto Pros, and we've just got to knock down those stereotypes and get past them and prove that we're far better than the labels that are placed on us.
Technicians, before they work for you and while they're working for you, they're reading your reviews. A technician comes into us, he's going to have seen our Instagram feed, which is just loaded with great images. And there's never a greasy hand in that feed. Both shops are sparkling clean. The cars are always in great condition. It's how do you present yourself out to the world, right? But I'm telling you, the technicians have told us, oh yeah, I read your reviews before I came in, before I sent my resume. And again, while they're working for you, they're reading your reviews because they're seeing how does the world outside look at this place where I'm working, right? If it's well-respected, if customers are saying, I had a fantastic experience, I've never been treated this way before, it was so much better than the dealership, now they know they're a part of something that's doing more than just fixing a car, handing you an invoice, and collecting a payment.
Patrick, I have a question for you, but I want to make a comment on that. I got up on a soapbox maybe a couple of months ago on one of the shows, and I said, hey, listen, are you promoting the fact that you are a great place to work? And if you're not, you need to, if you are, because that, as you say, Andy, gets out to the rest of the world, and people can, you know, the old 6 degrees of separation. People know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, right? But Patrick, if you were interviewing someone from a dealer tech, you and Brian were sitting down, you were in the room, would you say, so why do you want to come to an independent? Why would you even be here? Would you ask that question?
No, I would tell them why, and I would show them why. I wouldn't bring questions into their mind and say, why would you want to be here? I would just show them why they want to be here. You know, how do we get ourselves out there to the younger guys and the dealer techs? Definitely social media is it. And also, one thing we started doing was we have our technicians write reviews. So not like customer reviews, employee reviews. They go on the same forum, but they're front, you know, hey, I love working here. This is a great place. I love the team I'm with, stuff like that. So I think that's also a good thing that people should consider.
That's a great idea.
It's a really good idea. Thank you. It was a great answer, Patrick. Exactly the answer I was looking for. It's just perfect. Andy, I happen to be doing a town hall that's going to come out in 2 weeks on CEO coaching, CEO, and the word vulnerability came out. I know you're a big fan of being vulnerable.
You have to walk a fine line, right? I mean, you don't want to tell people that, hey, my entire business is in your hands. I mean, it's in all of our hands, right? It's a collective team. But I imagine that the technician at a dealership, right? The owner of that dealership, he's not only have you probably never seen him before, but whether you're there or not as a technician, he's going to go home to his mansion and his 10 cars and everything. And, you know, it's just such a different experience than working at a well-run independent shop with good culture, right? I go around to see everybody at both of our shops at least every other week. I do, as Carm, as you know, I live in two cities. I live in Dallas and in Chicago. My shops are in Chicago. So I'm usually in Chicago every other week. And all of everybody, our technicians, our service people, our you know, writers, our managers, I visit with everybody personally. And you want to do that, right? That's how you keep in touch with your people. You don't need to be best friends with everybody that you work with, but you want to keep that human factor, the human touch with them. I have to make note. I do a lot of cross country driving, and I was driving back from your neck of the woods on Monday, Carm. I picked up a car in Rochester, New York. And, you know, if you do any driving, you know, over the road, you see every tractor trailer has a sign on the back that says they're hiring drivers, right? And this one jumped out at me so much I had to pull out my camera and take a picture. On the back, it said outstanding driver benefits package, just like everybody else. But underneath, it said 96% of our drivers feel respected. That tells you how important that is to today's workforce. Feel that you're respected. Feel you are part of a bigger cause than just wrenching on cars.
Can you imagine that has to be a tagline in order to hire people today, because we got out of that? And again, you see a truck going down, you're thinking it's a big corporate thing and I'm just going to be a number and a name, kind of, if you will, as you guys have been saying, how that dealership thing is. Thank you for that, Andy. Why didn't we have lunch? You were driving by. Anyway, guys, is pay one of the biggest things, or is it maybe secondary or tertiary?
I think it's definitely in the top two. I'll do a lot of stuff for good pay, but I'll do anything for good pay that has recognition attached to it. And I'm pretty sure that most of the people in our industry feel the same way. So being part of a good team and being appreciated you know, I would take a pay cut to be in a better place with people surrounding me that appreciate what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think you see that a lot. It's definitely top two. I mean, you're not going to pull somebody in for minimum wage because you're the greatest place on earth. But at the same time, the culture that goes with it, those are the people that you're trying to find, recruit, retain. We've got to sell ourselves to some of these people. And then when they're here, we've got to prove that that wasn't just an interview. Sometimes you get the best of that person during the interview. Well, you don't want them to get the best of you during that interview. You want to actually show them that it's even better than you talked about.
So fix inside. I think that's what I'm hearing. Make sure your culture's right. You have challenging work, a clean and organized place. You're paying for training. You're paying for the time that they're training. Appreciate me. Appreciate them. You're not going to be able to sit down across from a dealership technician, as frustrated as he may be, and recruit him if you don't have some of these core basics in play. We did not solve the technician shortage problem with this episode. We just didn't. But I think what we did is we had some sand and we had some mortar and we mixed it up and we put some stones in it. And we're trying to tell the world that there's a different foundation to build up from. And you're going to recruit great people. And it doesn't matter if they work at a dealership or a competitor or in a different environment like diesel and welding, the guys with the tools, you know, they leave our place and go to work for them. Why can't we bring them back and keep them? And there's so many things. So the top shops continue to be on fire, growing, have great, great talent. And, you know, my job in advancing the aftermarket has always been to get you guys on, share your wisdom, try to rock their world as to how do we hire dealership technicians? Well, it's not hard, but if you're not there yet, start. Let's go around the room. Andy, I'll give you the last word. Patrick, any final thoughts?
The aftermarket shops are in a great position right now, especially the ones that actually care, because there's going to be a lot of people that are tired of all the crap they put up with day to day, and we need to be ready to show them that we're better than that, and actively pursue the changing of the culture and the way people see aftermarket independent shops.
Thank you for that. Appreciate you being on. Patrick Ryan, technician at Eagle Automotive with four locations. Appreciate, thank Brian again for that. Joe, how about you?
The number one thing I would say, dealerships are solely focused on profits, in my opinion, at least the ones that I have seen. That's what's going to separate the independent automotive world, is being able to show that our number one focus is people.
Wow, how powerful. That's a great summary. Thank you. Joe Jerkins, owner, Westside Auto Pro, out in Clive, Iowa, former dealer service advisor. And Andy, how about you, my friend?
You know, we independents, we have a wonderful story to tell. We have a great situation that we can offer to people who want to be a part of a great culture organization. Let's get out there and tell it. Lead with your culture. That's what's going to attract the attitude, the energy, and the drive, those kind of people that you want in your organization that are going to make you better every day.
Guys, I have to say that even though I started the show, we're not going to be able to change the world, but we're going to give you ideas on how to approach a dealership technician, and especially if your house is in order. And if it's not in order, you need to find it. Thank you for such great comments on Facebook today. And let's work our house harder. And let's not be afraid to be able to pull a legacy dealership technician who says, as you said, Andy, I'm in midlife and I want a challenge. I want to learn more. I want to bring value to a team. I want someone to recognize me. I want to be trained. I want to work inside of a team culture and environment. We have all those things working right. Just like my friend Jeff Scruggs, who just hired four dealership technicians in a month to fill the ranks of his growing company, it can be done. Andy, thanks again for that. Shop owner, Midwest Performance, Chicago, Illinois, two locations. Lives in Dallas, works in Chicago. I don't know how you do it. But thank you guys all so much for being here.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks, Carm.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.